Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What up, Fightful friends and family, and welcome to Fightful Wrestling Roundtable. I am your host, Shaquille Mahjoui, and I don't know if it's the coffee or if it's the amazing, some would say chaotic lineup we got in store for today that's amping me up, but I'm glad because I'll tell you, I was telling these guys, I was falling asleep right before, but no longer. We are here for another episode 11, I think, of Fightful Wrestling Roundtable. Let's meet this colorful cast of characters today. First, and I can tell you he's got a lot on his mind. You can hear him on Wrestle Rap, Rene Paquette's podcast, Rosenberg's podcast. He's everywhere. He's doing everything. Chapstick like a Cuban cigar. Emilio Sparks, how's it going, my man?
What's going on, gentlemen? I appreciate it, Shaq. Thank you again for asking me to come on and hang out on this round table. I am honored to kick it with such pundits.
Yeah, and you know, we've got the World Tag Team champs of this wrestling media space underneath us on the video here. I'm glad you found yourself an ally. And is that an Elvis Presley cookie jar?
Oh, this thing has been with me throughout my entire career. It oversat when I was at Sirius XM. It was with me when I was at WWE, and it's been with me through Gallows and Anderson stuff, Renee and Peter Rosenberg. It's my good luck charm. I got it when I was on the road in Memphis.
I love it. And let's not bury it any longer. Look who we have here, the dynamic duo of the game. Much like the Vince McMahon era of pro wrestling. No last names here. Mm-mm. One and done. No. No, going in Raw, yeah. Steve Larson. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Thanks so much for having us. Yes. It's hard not to stare at Elvis looking down upon us all. You know, I was hoping that it was a cookie jar, to be honest with you. I thought Amelia was going to grab some, look at her, man. Let me get some cookies, man. You want some chocolate chip, baby? Sorry. Anyways. They used to have a Batman. I used to have a Batman and a Superman one, but I think they broke it. Yeah, like a long time ago. But yeah. Glad to see that the king is with us still.
Larson, did you want your 10 seconds to shine in that intro?
I don't have a cookie jar at all. I don't eat cookies, so I have no cookie jar.
Well, could we get you a cookie jar? Which one would tickle the pickle if you wanted one from a nostalgia pop? What would you like? Would you like a Andre the Giant vintage cookie jar? Could somebody on Etsy make one?
If I had my druthers, it'd be a Sid cookie jar. Give me a Psycho Sid cookie jar. That would make my day.
If only there was a holiday of some sort coming up where you're supposed to gift people stuff. But
I know, like a Sid themed holiday where you give someone a Sid themed item is what you're talking about, right?
With a little I meant Christmas, but you know, yeah, Sid, Jesus, same thing. Sure,
Merry Sidmas to all. There's your dad joke of the day, Larson. Steve, I know you guys had the kids up trick or treating last night, so I'll let you guys hold on to that one for the next time you need to pull it out, guys. Let's get to it. There's so much to talk about. As far as I'm concerned, it's been interesting. You know, when I started this podcast here on Fightful Pro Wrestling, shout out to Sean Ross Sapp, for me at least, AEW was what sort of reinvigorated my interest in pro wrestling and got me into this. As of late, I'll be honest, I've been really enjoying most of WWE's programming, especially those two-hour SmackDowns. Shout out to Brent Brookhouse, who takes the three-hour Raws off my plate. And I'd like to start here. I don't think there is a better storyline going on in the space right now than what Sami Zayn is doing with the Bloodline. From what I've read, this was initially supposed to just be kind of like a side comedy story for a few weeks. We were going to move on to some other things for some of the participants, but it's really taken on a life of its own. And Sami Zayn, you know, the Bloodline sort of came to the forefront of WWE on the merit of Roman Reigns' performance and title defenses, the Usos' performance and title defenses. And once, just as it was starting to get a little too stale, right? They beat everyone. There's no real viable contenders. We get this jolt of life into it, courtesy of Sami Zayn. Not just the comedy, but sort of all the subplots that he's weaving into this, whether it's Jey Uso's temperament, his alliance with Solo Sikoa, him rising up in the sort of ladder here. Jimmy Uso finally starting to, you know, get frustrated as sort of the cool, calm, collected one. It's just been so much fun to watch. WWE seems to really be taking their time with whatever the payoff is going to be to this. What I'd like from you guys is, what would you sort of like to see the payoff of this be? I don't know how elaborate you have sort of panned this out, but maybe at the very least, like, what should Sami Zayn get when all this kind of comes to an end or sort of takes its big next step forward? Emilio, I know you got a lot on your mind, so let me help you get it out now.
All right, so I have two things. First off, agree with you 100%. The Bloodline storyline was getting stale. They were beating everybody. There was no, it wasn't really compelling TV as it once was when it first started. Then Sami comes in, he starts doing the honorary use jokes on social media, and it really started to take off. I do like the fact that something is going to be done bigger. And I think this is the first time in a long time that they're building a mid-card person, and it for a payoff. Now, whether that payoff is Sami Zayn winning, I would love to see him win the WWE Championship, right? It would be such a great payoff to see. Or what I would like to see more is Jey Uso get kicked out of the Bloodline because his paranoia is starting to affect him. Kind of like how, like, the Telltale Heart kind of thing would be with, like, real Edgar Allan Poe, where you have this person who's not the coolest. It would probably in high school you would have picked on him. But there's something sweet and innocent about him where you could tell he just wants to be along because he's never had any type of coolness attached to him before. So he wants to go above and beyond. So that's why there's always a little bit of the posturing on the posterior for the tribal chief. Or he looks at, Sikoa as the protector of him. And, you know, he has this playful relationship with Jimmy where they have the handshake, where they do all the slappies of the hands. And you could see, like, you know, it doesn't really gel with Jey Uso, who has history with not being aligned with what the tribal chief wants to do anyway. And they had some real, that Hell in a Cell match, man, that was art. They really could have went somewhere with that. They want to align them because obviously, you know, family's first. But if they have something where it breaks up and he is the one, that's really good full storytelling that goes circles back to originally during the Thunderdome Rome era, as I like to call it, when he was just running wreck on the Thunderdome. So it could do that. Do I really believe that they would do something like that? Probably not. Do I think what we get is Sami Zayn getting kicked out of the Bloodline and gets a shellacking, and in comes a hero in Kevin Owens who rides in on the White Stallion? They come in. They put up some fisticuffs and dethrone the Usos as World Tag Team Champions coming out of WrestleMania. I see that one coming, and then that gives Kevin Owens his Grand Slam trophy, and that gives Sami Zayn his second championship in the WWE. So it could go anywhere. So the fact that we could even talk about this in two separate ways, I think, is really cool.
And before we move on, guys, if you have any questions for the quartet here, I mean, you know, mostly true, I'm just here to kind of move things along, please feel free to leave a super chat, $10,000. I've got my preference, but either way, it makes a good impression on the boss, right? I'll leave those, we'll make sure to get to them at the end. Steve or Larson, I don't know how to, you know, Steve's name always comes first here, so I don't want to bury Larson, so whoever's got something to,
you know what, save the best for last. I'll go now. Emilio, I love a lot of what you said, and I think, you know, your central point about the complexities involved here is really what matters. I mean, Larson and I have talked about this endlessly whenever we talk about the bloodline, especially over the past month or so, is that it's gotten to the point, and I don't say this easily, it's gotten to the point where I approach SmackDown these days. Any time I know that a Sami Jay segment's going to be on, the same way I'm going into a new episode of Breaking Bad or Ozark.
Yeah.
And I've never, in 25 years of watching wrestling, I have never felt that way about walking into an episode of WWE or AEW. I never have. And it's that compelling. So I think Emilio's on to a lot. I think there's a lot of ways you can go. I think ultimately you're absolutely right about Jay's the one being dumped on. And so I feel like there needs to be some amount of, so Sammy's kind of like the comedy relief, who's also kind of a prick in his own way. He's clearly wanting Jay to be the guy who stepped on so he can step up. Well, eventually, what I would personally love to see is Jay eventually comes around to Sammy. He eventually, and we've seen them kind of start to get on the same page. And I'd love to see Jay come around to Sammy. And at that point, as soon as he does, Roman says, it's time to get rid of him. And Jay's like, I just got on board with this. Roman says, it doesn't matter. You got to acknowledge and I'm at the head of the table. So Jay reluctantly gets rid of Sammy. They end up losing the tag titles to Sammy and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And in the end, because you got to have, I mean, it's got to be like a Cody or somebody like that comes in to take the title off of the titles off of Roman. And at that point, it's got to come down to similar to what we saw when Hangman won the titles and the Young Bucks had an opportunity to screw him over one last time. And they're like, no, no, no. But this is kind of different. In this case, Jay would have an opportunity to help Roman. And in the end, he's the last guy who can and says, not now. That ain't going to happen. Roman loses because of Jay. Roman, and it's not Jay taking it from him. It's Jay stripping Roman, being the guy to stab him in the back finally, or just leave him to his own devices. So he loses the one thing that he treasures the most, the titles, and because of the betrayal, the bloodline. And and that's how I think it should be. I don't think, I mean, if there was a span of time when I thought, yeah, Sammy should take the title, I think you want to blow up the place Sammy takes the titles, but I don't think that's his story. And I don't think Jay taking the title is Jay's story either. It's about family, and it's about, you're simply using me. You're simply manipulating me with an outsider, with Sami Zayn. You're doing this. You're treating me like a doormat with him. So he's got to be the guy who is pivotal in stripping Roman of the thing that Roman wants the most. And that's how I think the story should play out, because neither Sammy nor Jay are heroes. They need to get their own. They need to come out with the things that matter most to them if this story is going to be, you know, true to the way it should be told.
WWE creative, take notes. Good stuff going. Larson, anything you want to chime in with here?
Sure. you know, I think if WWE wants to be really oozy, give us a good moment.
You know, there's either lately.
What's that?
Has Steve been oozy enough lately?
Oh yeah, I'm.
You know, some days he's pretty oozy. Some days not so oozy.
So much oozy going on here.
It might be an overabundance of oozy on some days.
Too much oozy.
There's two kind of callbacks that they can, if they want to say, hey, we're going to give Sammy a huge moment, not necessarily a title reign. I mean, I think what's going to happen is you know, what Emilio and Steve mentioned is it's going to be Owens and Sammy take the tag titles off the Usos. But for the sake of discussion, what if they say, all right, Sammy, we're going to give you a moment. We either call back to when Mankind won the title, you overbook the finish of it, and then you have Sammy have, oh, even just for a week, you have him drop the next SmackDown or something like that. But you give him that moment, or
Tony Schiavone can even spoil the results on Rampage.
There you go, on Rampage or something like that. Exactly.
Butts in seats.
Or you do something like what Triple H did when Jericho beat him for the title, where Sammy wins and Roman bullies the ref into reversing the decision. And so, you know, hey, Sammy was champion, but it's stricken from the record. It doesn't count. You get more heat on Roman.
So much heat.
Right.
Because he's taken that moment away from Sammy. Either of those scenarios, I think, would probably be, it would give fans the moment they really want without really, in WWE's mind, maybe tarnishing the integrity and the legitimacy of Roman's reign as champion.
But I think the legitimacy is there. I mean, he's on a run that you haven't seen from somebody in a very long time. And even though he's on the Brock schedule, nobody's complaining that he's not on TV, because when he's on TV, he makes the best of his situation, right? But to me right now, and maybe you guys can give me a different answer, but who's hotter than Sami Zayn right now? And I love the idea that you talked about a Mankind moment. Just give us a week of Sami Zayn, and then Roman comes in and he is aggravated. He is annoyed. He isolates the rest of his family. He doesn't even want them to even be here. And then in that final moment, when it builds up to a crescendo and he's beating the snot out of Sami Zayn and Sami's trying to fight, that's when Jay has to come in for the kill shot, because I like what Steve said. He finally warmed up to him. It's such a Shakespearean tragedy.
Yeah.
It rolls out right in front of you. Like it could be that. And I think that's the fun part. And to touch upon like the whole Usyk thing, Sami wasn't even there last night. And that crowd, which was pretty dead for most of the night.
Yeah.
And Texas crowds aren't always the hottest. So so for them, like, that was really good. They were chanting Usyk. So I don't think that they have anybody as hot as a mid-carder that they have built up to this point right now in years since Sami Zayn. Would I love to see that Mankind Mick Foley moment, or even Roman flexing his tribal chiefness and bullying the referee? This is why it's the most compelling storyline WWE has had in a very, very long time.
It honestly feels like, and I don't know, I would imagine, I would think that Paul Heyman has a heavy hand in what's going on. I mean, you just sort of get the feeling, and I wonder if it's the kind of thing where it's like Heyman's magnum opus, you know, it's like, man, I don't have Vince sort of like saying, oh, pal, that's not going to work. It just kind of feels like maybe he's been like, oh, I had this opportunity to write the great American novel for WWE.
Yeah.
You know, because it feels like that's what we're getting with this.
The complexity of the characters and whatnot. Yeah, it definitely feels like a novel as opposed to a wrestling storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so much nuance with it, too, when he said, I don't give a damn about the tribal chief, and Roman's facial expressions change.
I looped that like four or five times.
I brought my wife into the room to watch that. I was like, get in here. This guy's just doing this. This guy's doing this. Because she like half pays attention. I was like, this is really good. Check this out. And it was, oh my God, it was mind blowing.
Because when you play paranoia and anger as good as what Jey Uso has been doing.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
It really harkens back to the Thunderdome Rome stuff when he was this quintessential, for the time, baby face for that moment. And you could just tell he still resents his cousin.
Oh, yeah.
And no matter what, like, but it intensifies that now you're bringing in an outsider who's not one of us, who does not share our blood. And you're choosing him sometimes over me. You want him to broker peace. You want to bring him in as a confidant. Now him and my little brother are being good. Even the ceremonial switching of the shirt and becoming the honorary Uso. There was so much he was doing on his face, Jimmy and Jay, that it was just like the anger and like the seething rage that this individual, now I have to start acknowledging this man as an honorary Uso, a title that we use here. So it's fun.
And he's the guy who ripped the shirt off him. He was like, oh, now's my time to jump. And when his time to jump is going to come, he's not going to want to do it. That's what it's got to be. It's got to be Jay, because Jay, and I know like people love the breaking moments, and those are great and everything. But in between those moments, for the majority of it, Jay has been an absolutely brilliant performer, actor in this. I mean, his portrayal has just been absolutely amazing. It's like, I honestly cannot think of another portrayal in pro wrestling that we've seen better than this Jey Uso one. It's been magnificent.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm honestly sort of sitting here getting sidetracked thinking about, you know, we're going to see the family now, I think, over time transition more and more into Hollywood. You got The Rock, you're already getting Roman Reigns dabbling. And I honestly think Jey Uso could really make a killing in that industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's been so good.
Yeah, he's
so
been good. Really good.
Now, someone who at this point might not have a choice other than to really lean into acting and projects outside of pro wrestling is, by the sounds of it and the reports that are beginning to come out, CM Punk, it appears that the investigation into Brawl Out has concluded. We're starting to see our first hints recently on Dynamite of the Elite, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega on AEW programming after the company was very much hush about the whole thing. We know that Ace Steel's out, and the most recent reports state that a buyout is imminent and expected, and that CM Punk will not be returning to AEW, and not necessarily, not exclusively a business decision, but also, you know, he seems to have allegedly very much alienated himself from the locker room and locker room leaders who don't want him there. If you were in Tony Khan's shoes, would you have reached the same decision? Is there anything you could have done with this situation?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Other than remove CM Punk from the company. And Steve, are you willing to go first on this
one? Yeah, sure. I honestly let's assume that it was the decision that he had any other choice. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that given what happened in the locker room, there would have been any other choice. I mean, it seemed like given what CM Punk said in the media scrum, I mean, God, his, you know, burning down basically all the EVPs, a former champion, Hangman Page, given what we've read about, you know, Chris Jericho saying, hey, you're a locker room cancer. You know, if the majority of that stuff is in fact true, I don't know that he even had a choice. I'm not sure CM Punk would have been like, yeah, I don't want to stick around here. I mean, God, what did you just say? Like, how are you even going to be here anymore if this is your outlook on the company that you're currently champion of? I don't know that he had a choice in the matter. It was honestly like we've been so deep into all of this, everybody who talks about it online, that it's kind of hard to remember just how shocking that media scrum really was and like what was said and Khan's reaction to it, where clearly he was shocked and befuddled. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know how you continue with him. I really did. It's a really sad thing because for the most part, the majority of his run was fairly outstanding in AEW. I mean, I'm not privy to what goes on backstage beyond what we read, but what I saw on TV, a lot of the stuff was fairly compelling. And it's just sad that it ended up like this. But I don't know that there was any other choice that could have been made. I mean, could he have brokered some sort of peace agreement? You'd like to think that that would have been a possibility. And if so, maybe he should have done that. But it seemed honestly that that wasn't even on the table. So I don't know that the right decision you know, was anything but what happened. So,
Larson?
Yeah, I don't have much to disagree with, but, you know, I think if it comes down to, you know, fights happen in locker rooms. They happen, you know. But it seemed like before that, there was some battle lines already drawn, seemingly. You know, Punk, he went out there during the scrum and said his piece, and in the process, seemingly alienated a lot of people. And if even if there was a willingness on Punk's part to stay around in AEW, if Tony Khan had the willingness to keep him there, at the end of the day, if there's no one willing to work with them, like, was Punk going to be on Elevation or something? You know, I don't know. Like, you got to put Punk against other main event guys. And if, you know, the reports were true that a lot of them did not want to work with them, Punk would just have the same feuds over and over with the same three people. And I don't know if that's feasible long term. You know, if what the reports were true and Punk was essentially voted off the island, I don't know what other recourse you could have had other than unless Tony Khan just goes in there and slams his fist on his desk and say, all right, which maybe at some point he should have done well before the media scrum, say, all right, you all worked this out. But at that point, it didn't seem like anybody was really willing to. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Tony Khan necessarily any choice in the matter.
Emilio.
First off, it's sad. The whole thing is just sad. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. It's sad that when you are a performer of his ilk and his talent and how much he has invested in the game for so long and how much stake that this man has had. I mean, for 7 years, the crowds in any wrestling show would chant your name. There is a power that yields with that. And then you have arguably the greatest return in the last, I don't know, 15 years in professional wrestling, where you sell out an arena in Chicago based off a rumor, and nothing was ever said. There was no, and they kept it pretty much like close to the hip that this wasn't leaked, but off a rumor. And then you hear the static and comes out to, you know, Cult of Personality, and the crowd erupts. It was the greatest. It's great. And they did huge numbers off of it. Then they're doing million-dollar gates because of him, which is what you want when you want to elevate your company when it was only going into year three. So if you think about it from a business standpoint, he was going to do what he was supposed to do now. Mm-hmm. Did he whistle a different tune from year one going into year two? Yeah, and it starts with the promo that Hangman said at against when he mentioned Cole Cabana. Now, the difference I feel is that maybe he didn't, maybe Hangman did not come to Colt, did not come to Punk first and said, hey, listen, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? Because MJF said something similar. Now, is it just because you just don't like Hangman Page and you like MJF? Maybe that's the thing. Who really knows? We don't know. We weren't back there. And there really wasn't reports at that time percolating about, you know, any type of negativity in the locker room. And then you fast forward, he gets injured. Jon Moxley becomes the interim world champion. And Jon Moxley, literally the heartbeat of AEW. Absolutely. The heartbeat of AEW. Without Jon, it doesn't work right now. And then he comes back, he wins. And you thought, okay, we're going into the era now where the storyline is going to revolve. We're going to get Punk MJF 2. And we're going to get this whole thing, and then CM Punk will do the business, and MJF becomes the next AEW world champion. That doesn't happen. He had an agenda. I get it. Sometimes we all get aggravated. Maybe, like he said, maybe he was hurt. Maybe he didn't agree with the discourse that they were doing behind the scenes. Who really knows? But if I'm Tony Khan, after that moment, after that press conference, when you just go, and you take the shine away from all your other performers. It took the shine away from Tony that night. It took the shine away from Swerve and Keith that night. So that's really unfair that you come in and you already had an agenda. He sat down. He had the agenda. His body language was all there. I mean, he just went in and he felt maybe he was justified. But you can't do that from a business standpoint and being the top guy. You can't. You can't. Even if you're unhappy, fine, then take your ball and go home for a couple of days, and then maybe like you go and work it out with the other people you have an issue with. But then there's a brawl, and there's a dog involved, and all this other just nonsense. It's just crazy. So if I'm Tony Khan now, I have to set a precedent to my locker room, because there's been other fights after that. And without no real punishment, the inmates can't run the asylum. Listen, we all love pro wrestling, but pro wrestlers are nuts. You're nuts. So you can't have anarchy. It's a business.
Well, you need direction, because that was my one takeaway from, right. Because you mentioned MJF, but also Eddie Kingston. The entire crux of their story is people don't like you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And exactly. So Hangman says that, and I'm like, okay, the one thing that we noticed when Hangman came out and started the promo stuff with Punk, even like the, I think it was like a solo one. I mean, it was like a,
yeah. No,
yeah, Page did one solo first. One first. Yeah. Yeah, and it was so confusing in that it seemed out of character for Paige. And we were putting, you know, going through mental gymnastics, like, okay, maybe they're going in this direction. And it seems in retrospect kind of obvious that maybe Tony Khan, having faith in CM Punk and having faith in Hangman Page, he just had faith that, okay, you guys can go figure out what story you're going to tell leading to Punk beating Hangman. Yeah. And that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so you have two guys completely on a different page. And at that point, is Tony Khan, if you're the guy that's booking this, you need to sit them together after that first promo kind of sucked and say, okay, what is the story? What are we going to agree to say? And how are we going to get there? And it's clear that none of that happened. Mm-hmm. And then worst case scenario happened.
Right. But I think, unfortunately, at that point, I think, you know, and listen, I don't know the man. In fact, I've always been a huge supporter of the man. I think he's absolutely fantastic in anything that he ever done in CM Punk. But, you know, like, we've seen this go around before. We've seen the same song and dance. It happened in New York and now it happened in Jacksonville. Yeah. So is the problem really them, or is the problem you? Are you self-sabotaging? Because you guys would probably know better than I would. It's probably a lot of money they're going to have to pay him out now. It's probably a substantial amount of money. Yeah. So it's like you did it to yourself, where you really could have told some really interesting stories. You could have put over a ton of new talent. And then at the end of, what was it, 5 years his deal was, 4 or 5 years? You could have rode off into sunset with a great return, one hell of a championship run, and you made this company a little bit better than you left it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to do if it comes down to this, where they just going to buy him out and he has to sit down for X amount of time, then the decision, the right decision has been made, and you have to focus on the guys that helped you build the thing in which you created, mm-hmm. which is why when AEW released that Thanos looking finger snap thunder thing on their social media with the Young Bucks and Kenny being wiped from existence, it's not that. It shows and it highlights that without them, it doesn't matter. And to quote mm-hmm. the great old Dirty Bassett from Wu-Tang Clan at the beginning of Triumph, you know, we're the Osirises of this shit. So what really without them, does it come to the crescendo that it is now? So I think you have to do right by the people that stuck behind you in the beginning and were willing to be there and really put the work in. Punk would have been great for that 5-year window. But then after that, what do you do? And you could see now that even without the Elite, the locker room is stepping up. Like I said, John Moxley is probably the best locker room leader, and Chris Jericho as well. And Bryan Danielson, like that holy trinity. Mm-hmm. Are the best that lead by example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the work. Yeah. And they're putting over the young guys. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's like, all right, let's course correct this way. Let's tell interesting story and let's start to build people. Mm-hmm. That's pro wrestling in at its core.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two takeaways for me after listening to all this. One regarding CM Punk is, it's super disappointing, even just for his legacy. And I don't, sometimes, you know, you get caught in the hardcore bubble, and you can't quite sense clearly how it translates into the mainstream. But here you have a guy who left WWE under very disappointing terms, but was sort of very much viewed as this hero that went against the grain, was anti-corporate, was anti-culture, and really kind of got screwed. And his return was such a heroic triumph, and now he's sort of becoming this black sheep in pro wrestling, and he's getting a lot of backlash from the fans. I think allegedly rightfully for really playing with their emotions. Like, there was so much going into this that people were excited about, and now you see it sort of bleeding into, oh well, maybe WWE wasn't the problem, he was the problem, whether or not that's actually true. So on one hand, it's very disappointing for his legacy. On the other hand, you know, I think rightfully there's some criticisms emerging about AEW's product after an incredible first year, those first four champions. Now with the extra content and the bloated roster, we're starting to see, as is natural for some repetitive qualities in booking and formatting that are kind of becoming cumbersome, but in part,
yeah,
man, they, and you can maybe say this is a consequence of who's really steering the ship in AEW, but you know, MJF took a shine off of Wardlow's big moment. CM Punk took a shine off of MJF's big moment. Champions have been getting injured left and right. Like, it's been so hard for them to do any course correcting because every time they lean on someone for reasons that are of their volition or otherwise, like, it's just kept falling apart. And that's all the more reason to give credit to Jon Moxley in particular, I think, and Chris Jericho with the Ring of Honor stuff, for just anchoring the company at a time where it's been really desperate for it.
Absolutely. Right, but I think you have to make these mistakes, right? Like, certainly. You know, I think people also forget that this company is still relatively young. And that's no excuse now because they have a substantial television deal and you have to be on point with TV. But there are going to be growing pains along the way. Like, you know, we got real lucky with WWE by the time we were starting to watch in the 80s, since maybe some of us watching on YouTube the late 70s, right? We got real lucky because they kind of started to figure this out like really early on. And by the time it was The Machine, when it was Austin 316 or even Hulkamania, they had it figured out. Mm-hmm. And I think the best part of watching things like this is seeing it grow and develop in real time.
Yeah.
And we can, and then we can go on and we can tweet about what works and what doesn't work and why are they doing this and why. Shaq, you made a great point. The Ross is insane. And then they have, you know, the ROH stuff going on. So there's a lot of open-ended questions and a lot of what the hell are they doings over there? But you're going to watch because you're seeing them now start to, okay, let's fix this. Let's make the world championship about this. Now you're starting to see Wardlow's going to get a program with Will Hobbs. Let's make this belt hot again. Okay, our tag team belts, super cool right now. This is what we need to do. Our women's division is finally coming around. To quote Tony Khan, let's go. So it's exciting. It's funny
because I remember like when it first started, the biggest thing for us was always like, I'm anxious to see where it's going to be 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. I want to know where it's going to be a year from now. And of course we saw, you know, last year at All Out, it was like the biggest thing because we had all those amazing signings and then the signings just kept on going and going and going. And you start to say, okay, well, the honeymoon period is kind of coming to an end. Let's see what it's like when this dude is booking week in, week out with all these different names coming in. And yeah, there's going to be plenty of road bumps along the way because he's got five other high profile jobs. He's not relegating or delegating these the creative responsibilities really all that much. It seems like, according to him anyways, according to Tony Khan. And so we do get to see it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's what the company's like basically 3 years old at this point. And weekly TV is just over 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And weekly TV, man, that ain't no joke. You got two episodes a week, plus you got Dark and Elevation. And, you know, it's gonna take a little bit more time to sort it all out. And he's got Ring of Honor, hopefully with their own deal coming up soon, so he can relieve some of that pressure. But, yeah, man, I would imagine writing weekly wrestling television is simply just, it's not that
tough
easy.
Work.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be tough work.
Larson, I got a question for you guys too, Stephen. Yeah. Larson. I want to know, do you think because it's so magnified now with social media and everybody wants to critique everything and wants to really like pop off on something, is it unfair that like, let's say any wrestling company that does televise something, people are going to pick apart something because it's just inevitable. There's going to be flaws in everything. Like I've seen it with GCW. I've seen it with Impact. I've seen it on even New Japan. You know, do you feel that sometimes social media creates the disadvantage to create compelling television?
I don't know if it creates a disadvantage per se. I think if you look at just about any, you look at any TV show, you look at the filmography of a director, there's ebbs and flows. There's high, there's peaks and there's valleys. There's great, you know, especially the great directors. You know, you hope that the peaks are more happen more often than the valleys do. But you know, Scorsese's had bad movies. Stanley Kubrick's had bad movies. You know, or less than stellar movies. And just about any creative endeavor, there's going to be periods where you're like, oh man, I'm on a roll now. I got the creative juices flowing. This is great stuff. And then sometimes, all right, well, I'll just kind of soldier through this and hope once I get through this period, something better will result in the end. You know, how many TV shows have had great 2-3 seasons and then they hit a bit of a lull? I think these things just happen, and that's with products that are released not on a weekly basis, like wrestling is, you know? 52 weeks a year, you got 1, 2, sometimes 3 shows. You know, we joke about the video clip of Kevin Nash with his whiteboard and talking about having to book Thunder when they're taping and stuff like that. And it's funny to joke about him pulling out that giant whiteboard and diagramming that, but it's in all seriousness, it seems like creatively it could be mentally taxing to have to book like 2 or 3 weeks in advance and make sure it all lines up.
Especially when you got, you know, two or three other fairly high profile gigs with professional, you know, leagues.
Yes.
Yeah. As far as the social media aspect, I mean, yeah, I think it amplifies, but man, I don't know. Like, I don't know what kind of influence that necessarily has. Especially like you said, when you have a TV deal, you kind of can't really worry too much about what Twitter's saying. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Tony Khan is the kind of guy who not only doesn't really, I don't think he really cares that much about what social media says, because if he did, I think you'd see a much different product. I think you've seen these waves of social media movements where they're like, hey, you know, more than one women's match on Dynamite. He hasn't done that in a long time.
Chat right now.
Right.
Tony Khan seems like the kind of guy, and I think he can be fairly defiant sometimes. I think he's got it in his head what he wants to do. And I think, but dude, I don't know. I remember, you probably remember, like when Russo had taken over WCW, we didn't have Twitter. We had message boards. We had the internet. We didn't have Twitter, but I just remember being like in the ether somehow.
Yeah.
It being like everybody crapping all over it. And then I turn, I'm like, God, they're right. This is awful.
Awful.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like even if you go back, like word of mouth is going to be word of mouth. Like people talking to each other, you know, wherever they we used to talk to each other before the internet was around. I think
the water cooler,
I guess. Yeah. There's just a lot of water coolers.
Right.
I don't remember where I talked to people. playground, I guess, back in the 80s.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I think word of mouth and social media is just like sort of different elements of the same thing. But Tony Khan seems kind of defiant in the face of attempted social media pressure.
Yeah. It just seems like the echo chamber is getting more and more crowded with each and every passing episode of anything.
Yeah.
You know,
so time to spend less time on the internet, but man, get away from
it. I'm not on it, but when I do go on and I scroll on my phone and you just see just people arguing with each other about a take, it's nuts to me. And then you see that, like, if you see something that has over 3,000 comments and, like, let's just say 5,000 likes and retweets, Shaq, that's gonna pique your interest. Oh. You're gonna go look, and then while you're on the toilet, you're gonna just scroll and read that thing.
And then you're gonna
see what I mean. So like, you're gonna scratch your head. So I don't know if it's a matter of staying on the internet constantly, but man, oh man, brother, that echo chamber is crowded and it's very loud.
We should probably move on. Before we do, we gotta get this now. As someone who is engaged to a nurse, I probably should not advocate going in raw, but if you need a helping hand, let me know. Let me tell you the Dong Lord Sean Ross Sapp has something for you to chew on. Let's do it.
If you want erect penises, well, one at least, yours, use bluechew.com. But it's not just about that, even though it is a lot about that. It's about that performance. It's about having that confidence. Blue Chew is made with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work, but they work on your schedule. Or not your schedule. Maybe you're not up to task. Blue Chew takes care of that for you, my friend. Get you ready whenever the mood arises or when it doesn't. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, and you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy or the doctor's office. It's because you consult with an online physician, and if approved, come straight to your door. That way you can, you know the rest. Just pay $5 shipping when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Otherwise, your first shipment is free. That's bluechew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Thank you, John Rossap, for keeping everyone, you know,
bricked up.
Once Steve discovered that phrase, it's his favorite phrase.
This is not the first time he's dropped it. Like, no. In the last hour, let me tell you.
I've been using that left and right. It's amazing. I'm going to get in trouble with that one day. Yeah, be at a parent-teacher conference. Yeah.
Gosh.
All right. Well, there we go. That was it. For whatever we were discussing this earlier. For whatever reason, between pro wrestling and MMA, there's like no shortage of advertisers looking to pitch penis pills and grooming equipment to the 18 to 34 demographic. So I guess it's what we're all in need of. Any blue?
It's better than going in and getting gas station dick pills. So get the blue chew ones. Better off.
There we go. Emilio speaking from experience, of course. And
you need a little pick me up. You need a little pick me up sometimes. What are you gonna do?
Late, you know.
I haven't slept.
I got nothing. It's late.
Listen, you haven't slept in 4 days.
You're all jacked up on energy drinks.
You're scrolling on Tinder or Bumble.
Right, exactly.
Grindr, if it's your cup of tea, guys. Don't
whatever. Hinge, Match,
whatever. I've 13 years. I've been with my wife, so I don't.
Yeah, actually, I just missed the boat too. In terms of, I think.
Wow.
I've been with my now fiance for 9 years in January, so I just missed the boat. Like as soon as we started dating, it all popped off. So
it's a whole nother world out there, gents. Yeah.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
That's why it's been 20 years for me. I've been with my wife for 20 years.
Wow.
I hope I never have to experience that shit again.
I pray you don't, because it is. It's like a nightmare. Right? Wow, it's bad, man. It's like pissing in a bad pool, dude. It's terrible, man. Like, I don't even want to invest in it sometimes, but I'm single and I would like to have a wife and a kid someday. I don't know where to meet one. Church? I don't know. Like, it's crazy. Crazy out there.
All right. Now, while Emilio Sparks continues to look for the crown jewel of his life, we have the pay-per-view coming up. Thank you, guys. Look at that. I'm back.
Segway!
We have the crown jewel pay-per-view coming up. Every time I think I got it, I lose it right at the end. Yeah. Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul headlining. Now, I think, you know, from the last time we did the podcast, it had just been announced and we're sort of reacting in real time. I think, naturally, we kind of have to taper our expectations a little bit. Especially, you know, these pay-per-views are more blood money than blood feuds, and we all accept that, for better or worse. How have we liked the Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns build, grading on the curve of what it could possibly be? Larson, give me a grade and be generous considering the circumstances.
I'll give this... if there was something between a C and a C+, that'd be what I'd give it. C-plus, whatever you want to call it. Anyways, I haven't really... They can't do much more, I don't feel like, than what they're doing, because Logan Paul's had two matches. And his performance of those two matches have been really good. He's comported himself to the world of pro wrestling just about as well as you could expect of anybody who's had two matches. That being said, he's taking on Roman Reigns, who had that belt for 1,000 days seemingly already. And you know, walking into this, Logan Paul has zero chance unless they overbook the heck out of that finish. The best they can do is bring up his boxing background and say, yeah, he can maybe KO Roman. Even though I don't know if has Logan actually KO'd anybody in any of his boxing matches, they've all gone the distance.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Decisions, yeah. And they could bring up metal pins in his hand. I'm not buying it, you know. You know, the point of this whole feud isn't necessarily to tell an interesting story, although I will say the way they have kind of woven Logan into the larger bloodline storyline, especially now with Jay getting knocked out and him, you know, I'm sure at this point Jay wants his pound of flesh for getting knocked out. He's just not going to sit idly by and be cool with that. So that might play into what happened Saturday. But the point of this whole feud is not so much to tell an interesting story. It's to get eyeballs on the product, because they think Logan Paul, with his massive YouTube and social media empire he's got there, is going to bring eyeballs to WWE, especially when he's facing off with a WWE champion. Will that happen? Will some of Logan's fans tune into the show, watch it, and say, oh, this is pretty fun, I'm going to watch wrestling now? I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those situations where I have to say, all right, I'm not,
this particular story is not here to really tell an interesting story. It's to hopefully bring more business to the company. You kind of just have to accept that. As far as how they can make it better, I don't know, give like Logan Paul some bionic arms or something so you think he actually legit shot of knocking out Roman Reigns. Apart from that, I don't know.
Some Boston Dynamic arms? Yeah,
give him a Boston Dynamics robot. Yeah, upper body or something. I don't know. If he could get through the doorway, maybe he has a chance against Roman, you know? Outside of that, I really don't know. That's because the story's there for one purpose, and I don't really think it's there to necessarily tell a compelling story. But we got the Bloodline story, and that's good stuff as it is, so...
Guys, we will finish up on some Q&A. So if you have a question you haven't, super chat, any amount will do. Throw us a tip. You give it to your waitress. You give it to your bartender. Now they ask you to do it when you go to buy a slice of pizza. Just accept it. Throw me some money. Move on with your life. It's okay, guys. Emilio Sparks, excuse me. You can tell that I'm about to die.
Sorry, I got that. Listen, I used to get that, and then, you know, you punch somebody in the face and it stops.
Shaquif was a popular one when I was in high school. So,
wow, I would have never have guessed that one. I thought because of like the rise in popularity with Shaquille O'Neal, people would have just been
saying
popular
person around. Yeah.
You know, in the seventh grade, someone told me, "Don't do the Jeff Hardy pose because you can smell your armpits." So we got a lot of trauma to unpack.
Kids are so cruel, man. There's a lot of trauma to unpack.
Middle schoolers are the worst.
Middle schoolers are the absolute worst.
You know, we're doing for ourselves. It's all good, guys.
A therapy episode.
Emilio.
One day.
Two questions. First one, a yes or no. Will Jake Paul, off a successful and honestly kind of impressive performance against Anderson Silva, will he make an appearance and knock someone out? He better. Oof.
I mean, because that Saudi money runs deep, probably. Okay. He'll show up.
Okay, give me your grade.
Do I think it's Roman getting punched in the face? No, I think the sacrificial lamb will be set up is Sami Zayn. I think he's going to push somebody out of the way, and it might be
Sami. Sami doesn't do the Saudi shows, though.
Oh, that's right. So never mind. So there goes my theory on this. So I guess Jay's getting punched in the face.
Jay's the doormat, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess Jay's getting punched in the face.
All right, give me your grade here on Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns, considering what
So I would say just based off the two matches that we've seen from him, and the promos leading up to it, and Roman really killing it last night as he's coming out of the ring and he's walking up the ramp. He cuts the second promo that I wonder if anybody really caught, as he's talking a whole bunch of smack as he's walking up and he's really hyped about it. I'm going to give it a B- just based off that. Because I think that's respectable. I think it's safe. It's not anything great. Do I think we're going to get a barn burner? I don't know, man. It's like, I think what we all agree here. It's just something that it just carries that they didn't have to put months and months of storyline into. Then there's a pause because that's what they do with these Saudi shows, where it's definitely just like a quick pause. There's a lull and then it can continue on moving forward with their narrative, whatever that's going to be after this show. So I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be super duper great, but I think it'll be fun enough to watch where you kind of want to see, you know, him get his ass beat a little bit because he hasn't. I don't know if his demographic is going to bleed over and everybody watches. I think if you're watching these Crown Jewels cards, I think you're already a conditioned wrestling fan. This is not bringing in a casual. I think the business for the casual stuff is definitely more WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble. I think those ones. So I don't think it's going to do any business. I just think whoever gives them a list of names that they want, you know, around the time and he's on it right now because he is signed. And he is one of the biggest names in pop culture via that YouTube content creator space. And WWE is smart to want to capitalize off that. But we've seen this song and dance 1,001 times before already. It doesn't really hit the mark. If he signed for X amount of matches, cool. Do you like try. And then you'll maybe get a real cynical wrestling fan's respect. But I don't think we're ever going to see the brother do a tope or a shooting star press to the point where, like, outside of the ring, and you'd be like, that's my next WWE champion. I need that. No, that would devalue, I think, everything that they've put into not hot potating the championship within the last like decade.
So I don't usually try to agree with Larson, like, in terms of this kind of stuff. But when you asked him for a grade, I literally thought to myself, between a C and C plus. And yeah. So like C plus minus is exactly correct. That's where I'm coming from it. And for me, I think the match is probably going to be better than we're expecting simply because his match against The Miz was entertaining as hell. Like Logan Paul really prepped for that. This is a bigger stage. It's a Saudi show. I think it's probably going to surprise us, maybe because our expectations are so low right now. But that being said, I think the main misfire here has been in the approach they took with Logan Paul, having him try to be some sort of babyface who can get one lucky shot just doesn't fit him at all. And if
I
you
think
could
this was his request, unfortunately,
it probably was. He probably doesn't want to look, oh, I don't want to be a bad guy. Well, I'm sorry, dude. That's kind of how the crowd perceives you. When they think of you, they think of like the things that they might have heard about your social media stuff, which is kind of nasty. They don't know about the fact that you've tried to make amends since then. The wrestling crowd thinks of him as a bad guy. And so I don't know why they wouldn't lean into that. Besides what you're saying, he probably requested that and they're just going to say, okay, fine. We'll just muddy through this, get to the match and get it over with. So yeah, I'd give it a C because I think the effort involved with his character has been kind of lame. They threw in this pins of the hand thing, which is silly. The match is probably going to overperform expectations, but at the end of the day, nobody's going to remember it. So yeah, that's sort of how I feel about it.
It harkens back to the days when Lex Luger had the steel plate in his
exactly.
arm. And everybody
it does.
Said,
it does. Yeah.
Now, like yeah. my thing is this: I had two steel plates in my arm because I was a bonehead growing up, and that does not work. Do you know like how it hurts if anybody even touches your arm? Like so, like the whole like you know concrete hands of God or whatever. Like we're not, what are you, Ronnie Garvin now?
Yeah.
You know, like we've seen your performances on these Trilla boxing shows. Mm-hmm. You're not going to snuff anybody. So let's just like, you want to be this baby face. That's fine. You have to, because they needed to counteract what God mode is doing in the tribal chief. Mm-hmm. But at the same time too, it's still Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And his promo work to do this, even at that press conference, It was excellent. Mm-hmm. It made me want to say, yeah, I want to see him get beat up. Mm-hmm. Bad. I want to see him mm-hmm. get beat up.
You're right.
Punchable face. But in a great way. In a great way.
Yeah.
I'll be a little more generous. I'll give it a B minus with Emilio yeah. here, since like I don't know what else you're gonna do with this. There are two things that sort of come to mind. One is, I wonder how this match is actually gonna play out, because you know, you had Logan Paul be competitive against The Miz. He can take that. Competitive against the Mysterios when he had The Miz aiding him, you can take that. But like Emilio said, this is God mode Roman Reigns. So I don't know what you do here to make Logan look presentable, but not make Reigns look silly. So I'm curious how it's going to play out.
I think it would have to be a situation where it'd be unraveling within the bloodline mm-hmm. would distract Roman from what's going on. Like, he has firm control of the match. However, you know, Jay being a hothead is doing something. That. Maybe because Jake is out there ringside with his brother, Jay's already over there trying to start some shit. And then Roman's distracted by that, gives Logan an opportunity to get some of his stuff in. I don't know.
And the part two of this, you know, I'll push back a little. I know, I think, Emilio, you mentioned how the Crown Jewel, these Saudi shows, are kind of throwaway. I think this year they've actually made a much more attentive focus at you know, putting time into building the storylines. We're seeing Logan and Roman one or the other on television every week. Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar is being weaved in quite nicely. So I think they're tying it into the calendar more mindfully than they have in past years. Yeah. I think you're right, though, in the sense that I don't know that they should have bothered, because you know what's coming up very soon? One of my favorite pay-per-views of all time. One, I was very excited to see come back to its form under Triple H's guidance, and that's Survivor Series. And I don't know what we're gonna do for that pay-per-view at all as a consequence of all this focus for a Crown Jewel. Last thing before we finish on some fan subs, just kind of like one word answers here from everyone. Let's say we get the Bloodline fighting someone at Survivor Series. Does anything make sense for you, or are we just gonna get like a thrown together mishmash of the people that they've been feuding with?
If it's War Games, it would be, I think it'd be Bloodline and then Brawling Brutes, because I think Sheamus is probably going to be Roman's next feud.
Okay. Steve, on board with that?
Yeah, I mean, they wrote off Sheamus because of the bloodline, so it's going to be the Brutes versus the bloodline. I don't know if Roman's going to be in the match or not. It might just be the Brutes versus the bloodline without Roman because they got enough people there.
Emilio?
Yeah, I agree, too. I think that's the next logical one, unless we want to throw a Hail Mary out there and pray that it's either Judgment Day versus the bloodline. Ooh. Or maybe we do, because you want to see Finn. He's never gotten a rematch for anything, and you can really use that as a conversation point. So I don't know, but I think we're getting Sheamus as well as Roman's next guy. So I think that's the most logical one.
This is the year of Sheamus, as far as
I'm Sheamus concerned. Is super over right now. He's been putting on great matches for like 2 years now. It's crazy.
Yeah,
and just got married, so congratulations to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Emilio, maybe you should hit up Sheamus and ask him where he found his wife. You know,
I'm gonna do that.
Okay, guys, we're running out of time here, so let's move on to. Sorry to do that too. Let's go to some super chat stuff here. Shout out to Hannah of the squad, throwing in some money here and there. Appreciate it. Graham B says wrestling has more than one royal family. I think he's talking about Steven Larson, really.
Probably. sounds right.
And yeah, you know what, lots of compliments with no actual questions, and that works perfectly because we had Graham B throwing in one more just to make sure that Emilio doesn't make his next engagement. Emilio, specifically for you, what's a great album?
What are we talking? Are we talking hip hop?
I knew where you're going. So let me give you. I'll give you some caveats, and you can give me three. What to you is the one album you'll never get tired of hearing? You can loop it anytime, as many times as you want. You'll still enjoy it.
Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
Okay. What do you think as a piece of art, start to finish, is the most interesting, most compelling, best piece of work that you've experienced?
Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar.
Andreas Hill will be very happy to hear that. And last one. What for you is, I don't know if this would be the same, would that be the greatest album of all time too, or do you have a different answer for that one?
No. Greatest. Oh, see, that is so subjective because you can't just pick just one thing for one thing. There's so many different genres that I enjoy. But for me, one of what I think the most perfect and complete within like the Great American Songbook and contemporary albums, which was the birth of the concept album, is Frank Sinatra and the Wee Small Hours, because it was an open love letter to Ava Gardner. So, and that's just one. We could continue to go, but we'll leave it at that, because you could talk about the White Album. You could talk about Ready to Die by Biggie Smalls as well. So I could keep on going. So
Elvis Presley in the back there, turning his head 360 like The Exorcist.
Elvis in Hawaii.
Elvis made, well, listen,
entire career.
He has, and I love The King, but the 68 Comeback Special is a great television show. And the Elvis made great singles. Elvis never merely made great albums.
That's true.
So The King will always be my guy. But in terms of like albums, if we're listening for a cohesency and a musicology throughout, I can't. But if I'm gonna blast Bossa Nova Baby from Fun in Acapulco from that soundtrack, oh, let's go! I'm shaking my hips all day. You know what I'm saying?
Get some peanut butter banana sandwich going on.
There you go. I mean, you got the Elvis sideburn, Steve. Let's do it,
guys. I'm about as in the dark here as I was when Emilio started talking about wrestling in the 70s and 80s. Shout out to my parents for bringing me into this world in 1995, guys. Thank you so much for everything today. This has been so much fun having you. I want to leave you gentlemen with the last word, so I'll do my part very, very quickly. Fightful fam, thank you so much for tuning in today. It's a blessing getting to do this every month. If you want to check out my work, you can do that at Shaq Wrestling on YouTube for all the pro wrestling interviews. Got some with Finn Balor, one coming up this week with Bobby Lashley. Sheamus should be coming up in the next couple weeks as well. Those will be great. Shaq MMA for all your MMA content. There's some interviews with Islam Makhachev there, the lightweight champion. Should have a ton of stuff for UFC 281 next week. I think we're getting Michael Chandler. Frankie Edgar, who will be having his retirement fight. So lots of good stuff there. CBSSports.com, as always, is where you can see all the written work. Thank you so much to Fightful Pro Wrestling, Sean Ross Sapp, and everyone on the team for having me here every month. Emilio, Steve, Larson, it's been so much fun having you guys. I want to give you all your flowers. Emilio Sparks, if there's anything you want to let the people know, floor is yours.
Just, you know, download the sessions with Rene Paquette, like and comment, follow that YouTube as well. You can subscribe to my podcast. It's co-hosted with the Mighty Vin, Rassle Rap, WrassleRap. Check out one of my favorite podcasts on the Fightful Network, Grapsity. Big shout outs to those dudes over there. They absolutely crush it all the time. Hi, Sean Ross Sapp. And just follow me on social media too, at Emilio Sparks, E-M-I-L-I-O-S-P-A-R-K-S. And if you like hip hop and pop culture talk, download Juan Epp Is Life with Cypher Sounds and Peter Rosenberg. I produce that as well. And gentlemen, it was absolutely a pleasure to get to kick it with you guys and tap in and talk some stuff. So thank you.
It was awesome to hang out.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Absolutely.
And then just Steven Larson on Google. Just we're everywhere. You guys are going in raw, the podcast, whatever. Just we're there.
It's out there somewhere. You type stuff into search engine stuff. It should come up. I don't know how to use that stuff anymore. I use AltaVista back in the day, and that's not around. So
I know Renee dropped the oral from Sessions. Are we going to see a similar PG rebranding at any point here?
Man, we've thought about that for years, but at this point, why bother? We're closer to retirement than we are starting.
It's just going to be known as the Rawcast.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or going. Just going.
Just Google it. This is the name of our show now. Just Google the damn thing.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll find you. You'll find us right here next month, another Fightful Wrestling Roundtable. I think that'll be the 1-year anniversary, so I got to get started on that.
Wow. Congrats, dude.
Yeah, congratulations. Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
1-year anniversary once every month, 12 shows a year. It's easy enough to do. Fightful, thank you guys so much for having us. We'll see you next time. Please look out for all the great content on the channel. We'll see you next month. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.